Live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt, and in a second, Trisha from San Diego. Guys, this is going to be a phenomenal show. Joseph, I say this every week, don't I?
Yeah, yes, you do.
But it is true every week. Am I right? You're wearing a T-shirt that says gravity.
Well, yeah.
And you're floating up to the ceiling. You're floating around. You're not dancing on the table. You're floating on the table.
Yeah, because it's lack of gravity in the room.
Oh, it's a gravity experience.
Yeah.
Levity and gravity.
Yeah, levity. Levity and gravity. And you like that movie. I was so with that movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, science fiction isn't usually up my alley. And so that kind of, you know, makes today interesting, considering we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel's latest superhero movie.
I have no idea what that is.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
I saw the picture you sent me.
Oh, yeah. There's a raccoon.
There's a raccoon?
There's a raccoon.
There's a great raccoon.
And a tree.
I didn't see the raccoon.
Oh, okay.
I guess my powers of observation.
And Zoe Saldana's skin is green.
Oh.
She's a hottie.
Yeah. And we're playing the soundtrack from the movie today. All these songs today are from Guardians of the Galaxy. Starting with this one, Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Wow, the most awesomest rock and roll rock star name of all time.
Norman Greenbaum.
Oh, yeah, it is sort of.
Sounds like a character from Bates Motel.
Norman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Norman. Yeah, that
sounds
was...
Sounds like an accountant.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Isn't that what you guys
do? He's
got
a good voice.
Yeah, he does. That was a great song. Yeah, so this is good because we also... Who do we have? We have Lowell Observatory.
Well, we don't have the whole Lowell Observatory.
Yeah, they're moving it down here to Phoenix.
Well, that would be interesting considering all the lights that we have. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, they are the Phoenix lights. No, we have on Jeffrey Hall, who is the director of the Lowell Observatory. I've never been up there, but I've always wanted to go. So, you know, maybe he'll give us a personal invitation to check it out because I'm interested in seeing what is up there in our own galaxy. Are there any raccoons? Are there any talking trees?
What's interesting is these raccoons sound like Bradley Cooper.
They do.
Bit.
Yeah, and trees that talk, they always sound like Vin Diesel, but they can only say three words and in the same order.
I know, but it means different things, though.
Yes, it means different things.
If you know how to speak that language.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're not on.
But and it might take a minute to get you on because Eric has disappeared for a minute.
Yeah. But, you know, I was looking at the website of Lowell Observatory, and it was really interesting. They have a bunch of classes, education, and something on black holes where it said, and I never knew this, the gravity is so tough in a black hole that light cannot escape. You're not on still. But I'll read your language.
Turn me on, baby.
Oh, great.
Oh,
no,
God.
No,
oh.
That's where it gets the name black hole. There is no light.
Dave, the listeners can't hear, so, stick with us for now until Eric gets back.
Stick to the script. Yes. All right, but anyway.
There he is. There's Eric.
Oh, we need number four, Mike. Old Jackson
number
on.
Number four on.
I'm supposed to play something right now?
No, number four, Trisha.
Turn Trisha on here.
So there we go.
Woo!
Now you're on. So, but I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't know light had weight.
Well, they're the home of the Discovery Channel telescope, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But how much does light weigh?
I don't know. We need some...
We're going to ask him that.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him that.
Good question.
Yeah. All right.
We'll find out if the aliens up there, any beings actually look like Zoe Saldana. So.
Whoa, yeah. Hello.
Yeah. If they do, maybe I'll go up there.
Then
or like Peter.
Pan?
Oh.
I don't get it. But anyway, then 1025, Terra...
I didn't know. She's got the two little dots on top of the eye, so I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But we'll speak with the writer and director of. It's a new movie, all about the Lost Dutchman mine. It's not a documentary. It's actually a found footage film. Looks pretty real to me. Her name is Tara, and I think it's Anais, but we'll get proper. Pronunciation soon.
So it has an umlaut on top of the eye?
Yes, very good, umlaut. Dark Mountain is the name of the movie, and it's now available on video on demand.
Wow, and then, of course, 11:25, probably the best comedian in the whole wide world, Kathy Griffin.
Woohoo!
She'll be calling in, and that should be quite a fun experience. No question about it.
I can't wait. You started out the whole day by saying, "Get ready to hit the dump button."
So true.
Yeah. So we'll see how much. No, I'm sure it'll be fine. Anyway, so. What's up next, Mr. Joseph?
Well, just late breaking alert for all of our listeners. Flash flood watch throughout the state.
Oh, really? Throughout the state?
Yep. It's very true.
Wow.
There were a lot of clouds we flew over coming in here. And I saw on the news there was a huge rescue here in the state yesterday.
Yeah.
A lady in her car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't go through the washes.
Yeah. Do not take that for granted.
I was in the Target last night. I was telling Joseph this before we started the show, and this is like 8:30, and then all of a sudden when the big rain started, I've never heard rain so loud on a roof. Like, everyone in the store was like, "What is that?" Like, I mean, you know it's rain, but never heard it that loud.
Well, Arizona, we don't know.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, and that's why I was the only person afterwards that actually left the store. Everyone that was exiting the store didn't want to go outside in the rain.
Chicken
so
Little.
Was waiting. Yeah, I'm like, come on, guys. So
My history teacher used to make fun of, most people in Arizona that, you know, we are the only state that actually freaks out when it rains.
Yeah, what's the stuff falling from the sky? Yeah. Well, the drivers are always interesting year round, no matter when it rains or not, but. When it does rain, you know, you'd think maybe you slow down a little bit, obviously a little extra caution, but not too much. You either have the cars that go 20 miles per hour slower, or you have the people that go, "Oh, this is cool, let me speed up a bit." And, you know, it's not fun.
Yeah, so you got to be careful out there today, you know, every day, but today especially, because like I said, flood watch, I believe it lasts all day throughout the state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And,
but of course, also, we, in addition to Guardians of the Galaxy, we'll be talking about several other films today, including Happy Christmas, starring Anna Kendrick, and Mood Indigo. It's a new film by Gondry, who we know has made Eternal Sunshine on the Spotless Mind, among other kind of trippy films. And of course, we also have Behaving Badly, starring Selena Gomez, and finally Louder Than Words, starring David Duchovny.
Wow. Ooh, I've seen two of the movies that you just mentioned.
Guardians of the Galaxy and Behaving Badly.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So I started Behaving Badly. I learned a lot.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's start with Guardians of the Galaxy. You saw it. I saw it. Let's see.
Trisha saw it too.
Trisha saw it as well today. Greg, not you?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. And Eric, you sound like you have no interest in it.
I haven't been to a movie theater in probably over a year.
Over a year?
Well, do you like the do you like the Marvel superheroes? Like Iron Man?
Captain America. Really. I mean, it's not something I'd rush out to see.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, obviously, I don't go to the movies too much. I mean, I'm pretty happy at home with my Netflix.
I thought you were going to say with Kathleen, and you said Netflix.
My Kathleen and my Netflix.
Oh, that's different. Okay, good.
I'm happy to be with her.
I have never been a big follower of comic books, and I mean, I know my superheroes a little bit, but I talked to a couple people that when I was waiting in the airport last weekend after Comic-Con, and they were telling me about Rocky the Raccoon and about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go see this. I will tell you, I was extremely impressed.
Okay.
But we can go over my review later, but even as someone who's not into that, totally enjoyable.
Okay. Well, you know, just to let our listeners know, it is on track for possibly the biggest opening weekend of the year.
Nice.
I think it's got to compete with a couple of the other big ones.
Lucy, didn't that open up big?
It not that big.
It was 40 big. The most recent.
That was a big one, but Hell.
Yeah,
Apes,
that one. Planet
Apes
of the
good.
Apes.
Yeah.
The Dawn.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was huge, and Captain America: Winter Soldier opened pretty big, as well as X-Men, which we still have not reviewed on the show. So this one should possibly, it's going to be at least $90 million for the weekend.
Nice.
Possibly over $100 million. It definitely shattered the previous opening for August. I forget what it was in August, but it was some other opening that was like $60 million a couple of years ago. So this is definitely going to beat that. And like I said, it's connected to all the Marvel universe. So Hulk, Captain America, Thor, the Avengers. And like I said, Iron Man, Chris Pratt plays a brash adventurer who finds himself the object of an unrelenting bounty hunter after stealing a mysterious orb from a powerful villain with ambitions that threaten the entire universe, forcing him to into an uneasy truce with a quartet of disparate misfits. That's what all these characters are. You know, Chris Pratt, his character is Star-Lord, and as we were saying earlier, Zoe Saldana plays Gamora, basically an alien with kind of the daughter of one of the villains. Dave Bautista plays Drax, kind of a thug type of guy. Bradley Cooper is Rocky the Rocket the Raccoon.
Yeah, sorry, I said Rocky.
Yeah, you said Rocky. That was a different.
That was a squirrel.
That was a squirrel. The flying squirrel.
Yes. Well, this one can fly too, but a little bit higher in the galaxy. But yeah, Rocket the Raccoon. He talks, and then Vin Diesel is Groot. He talks as well. That is a tree. But as we said earlier, all he can say is, "I am Groot."
He does it so well, though.
Yes, he does. He says it several times throughout the film, and so I don't know. I'm curious to hear your guys' review first. I want to preface this by saying I was a fan of the first Iron Man, not so much the second and third. I love the first Captain America, still my favorite superhero movie of all time. The second one, I pretty much not hated, but was very disappointed in. I am not a fan of either Thor, and there are several fanboys out there who do not like that I did not, you know, absolutely love the Avengers and put it on my best list. So, I don't know. I'm not that much into the superhero movies, and as I said, I'm not that big of a sci-fi fan either.
Spider-Man was cool.
Spider-Man, yeah, but that's a well. That is Marvel, but it's a different studio.
The first
Sony.
Two are cool.
It's
the
Marvel.
I liked all the Spider-Man.
After that, no.
So should I go through? I'll do a quick review, and then you can do the quick review. How's that sound?
Go for it.
All right. So this is how I saw it. This is what I put down: a movie that brings together five different types of characters who are very amusing, and for the most part, do not get along because of their different backgrounds and experiences. Yet a cause greater than themselves creates a bond and a common goal that each can embrace. These unlikely heroes learn the true meaning of life and together form a formidable force for good. I think this is one of the funniest movies of the year with great performances by, Chris Pratt. I think he's the next superstar. This guy is really, really
good. He's going to be in Jurassic Park, the next one.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's just excellent.
I've seen him in many other movies, but this is, I don't remember seeing him in a lead role. Maybe not usually.
He's usually kind of like the sidekick.
But he is fantastic. Zoe was great. Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, well, with the three words. John C. Reilly, I know Greg likes him. Glenn Close, just to name a few. This was a good cast.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny movie with heart, silly at times, a predictable ending, yet very entertaining. It's a cross, I think, between Star Wars and Police Academy, maybe Naked Gun or Top Secret. Sort of a cross between those two. And I liked it. I loved it. I have big thumbs up. Trisha, let's say you.
I loved it as well. And I'll be honest with you, I went in there dead tired. I'd been up for like 24 hours when I went in. I was afraid I might fall asleep, but oh no, no way I could fall asleep. The humor, it appealed to the kids. It appealed to the adults that were there. I went to an 11:40 show on a Friday and the place was packed. There was only about 15 open seats
in
the entire theater in the morning on Friday. And I went to AMC because they told me that they were going to give me a pin. That was a limited edition pin because I'm a Stubbs card holder, whatever. That particular theater, which is one of the biggest in San Diego, sold out Thursday night. They said they had a run on this show, and it was incredible how packed the theater was Thursday night. They ran out of all their pins, and it was supposed to last through the weekend.
So,
it's been very well received there, and I did talk to a lot of people leaving and Marvel fans and those who were not. And throughout everybody, it was a big thumbs up. Lots of laughter out loud in the theater. And I really enjoyed it. Great eye candy for the guys and the girls. Fun characters. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper did a great job as Rocket. And Vin Diesel did a great job as Groot. I thought that was especially, and I don't want to ruin things, but I love the ending part of Groot.
How about? Oh, that was cute.
Spoil.
I'm not going to do a spoiler.
After, well, I'm saying even. Well, you do want to stay after the credits.
Right.
I I will say that I did see it, but they did not show it for press. The after the credits scene.
Oh, really?
They hid it from the press, and they only showed it to you know, the people who actually paid to see the movie.
Interesting.
But of course, when you have the internet, anything is possible. So I have seen certain things, and I personally am very, very happy about what I saw after the credits.
How does this sound? I am Groot. I could have got another million for that. Okay. Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
after
yes,
the credits,
I do. And
why
and it was,
I personally liked it, and I don't want to say any further.
And I think, everybody must have known about that, because for the first time, it's like usually at least half the theater gets
everyone
up to leave
stayed?
During the credit, and it was like maybe four people out of the theater left. Everybody else was staying there in their seats for the entire credits, and it's not one of the credits that roll that have bloopers or whatever. It's just straight credits, white credits on a black screen, and everybody stayed, and I was like, wow, way to show respect for the creative genius. And then I saw what came after the credits, and I was like, aha,
very funny.
Yeah. And like I said, if you know me, if you know this show, if you know what kind of pet I have, that'll give you some kind of hint at what you will
spoiler
see.
Spoiler alert!
Hey,
spoiler alert!
Okay. Oh. Well, I will say that...
Lizard?
Well, no, that's Spider-Man. You know, this... Groot, you know, all these characters, they may save the universe, but humor saves Guardians of the Galaxy. I am not a fan of Star Wars. You did mention Star Wars. It does feel like that at times.
Yeah.
The space battles, you know, all the spaceships flying around. I don't care for any of that stuff.
Is it like Galaxy Quest?
No. Well, in a way, you know.
That was a good movie.
Yes, it is. You know, I would say I like Galaxy Quest more, but this is still a thumbs up. You know, it doesn't exactly save it so much as elevates it to a point at which even non-sci-fi fans like myself have an absolute blast watching this latest superhero cine extravaganza set in the farthest reaches of outer space. I will say that, you know, my favorite character has to be, as you said earlier, Rocket.
Yeah.
It's a computer-generated raccoon that constantly cracks clever quips. It's easily the highlight here, but the entire property's playful posture is what makes this such an out-of-this-world fun film.
Yeah.
Again, I'm giving Guardians of the Galaxy thumbs up. So it sounds like we've got three thumbs up on this show. We're going to give you a chance to say your say, you know, in a little bit later on in today's show. So, you know, have the number handy, 602-252-1480. Again, that is 602-252-1480. Of course, you can always join us on Facebook as well, breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F and tell us what you thought of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And, you know, I like also that this was really a study in characters and personalities that do not mesh. I mean, these were such an unlikely, motley crew, if you want to say. I mean, and none of them were made of superhero material, as far as you could see. You know, some of them, it's like, oh, yes, I'm this person. You know, I have this power. And that's not the case here.
Well,
you have that
in X-Men and in Avengers, where everyone is fighting for screen time. And here, they've all got screen time, even the character that only says three words.
Yes, and they meld perfectly, and I just
great movie.
Yeah, I thought it was excellently done myself.
Better than Captain America, I say.
Not the first Captain America. Definitely this previous Captain America. I would say
that
it is my third favorite of the Marvel. This particular, you know, bunch.
Genre.
I'm not going to include Spider-Man. That's, I liked Spider-Man a lot more. But I'm saying that, you know, Iron Man and all that, you know, my favorite is definitely Captain America, the first one, then the first Iron Man, and then this one.
Well, and also, if you are from my era, I mean, I loved a lot of references to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
that was...
There's a lot of pop culture
references. The music and the pop culture from the late 70s, early 80s, Knocked it out of the park for me.
And I do want to set up, you know, our soundtrack today, of course, is all from Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got a few of the score mixed in here as well, because there's only 12 songs on the soundtrack. It is basically Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord's, Chris Pratt's soundtrack, you know, his awesome mix that his mother gives him before he is scooped up into outer space. It's the last thing that he has from his mother, or second to last thing. Again, I don't want to spoil anything, but one of the last things that he has from his mother, it means the world to him, and it's just got all these 70s songs on it. So, and probably the most well-known song that was used to advertise the entire movie is hooked on a feeling by Blue Swede.
It's a great
Eric
song.
Knows exactly what I was going to say. That was good production.
Thank you.
And Eric, you love that the song.
All of it except the Ooga Chaga.
Oh, you don't like the Ooga Chaga?
No.
They're drinking while they're doing that.
I still think
is that what it is?
I still think of Ally McBeal and the dancing baby. The
I think of Norman,
baby.
What's the guy's name?
Who?
Norman Greenbaum.
That was the previous song.
This I know.
Oh,
Norm from Cheers.
This is Blue Swede.
Blue Swede, which was on our Sweden show last week as well.
Oh, wow. It's made a return appearance.
Possibly. Some listeners aren't happy with that, though.
Oh, I like this song.
I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Wow. All right. Well, this is Breakthrough Entertainment live here on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And we'll have Jeffrey Hall on in, just a few minutes?
Yep.
Lowell Observatory. If you've never been there, get down there. We'll talk about what's happening in Flagstaff and the universe. We'll be right back.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly as designed all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Trisha. And we all give Guardians of the Galaxy thumbs up. And it's so funny. I love it, love it, love it. Back to you, Joseph J.
Yeah, well, this song kind of makes me want to escape with my plasma ball.
What's a plasma ball? I must have missed that.
I don't get it, but I wanted to laugh, but I don't. Oh, it's in the movie.
It's in the movie, yes.
Quill's,
the song is Quill's Big Retreat. It is on the score, you know, composed by Tyler Bates. We had Norman earlier, now we've got Bates.
Tyler
Bates. Everywhere. And, you know, for the first time ever, about 2 weeks ago, I saw their Psycho remake with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, interesting movie. Yeah, well, I love Vince Vaughn.
Why did they remake that?
Yeah, it's one of those you don't want to remake. But yeah, interesting, all the Norman and Bates things going on. It's a little scary. Yeah.
Well, of course, that you know that was back in the 70s. Well, no, it wasn't.
The Vince Vaughn one?
No.
That was like the 90s.
No, I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, and the other one was way before.
Back in the 80s, they had like Psycho 2 and 3.
Yeah, Psycho 2 and 3.
With the Anthony Perkins.
I think I was thinking Shining, or, you know.
Yeah.
Like the Shining with, what's his name?
That was in the 80s, too.
That was in the 80s? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So all that's right. Close to the 70s. We'll give
you're
that.
Such a baby, Joseph. Yeah. You don't remember that.
I don't. That goes back too far.
Yes.
That goes back too far. Diapers.
You were negative 4 or 5, I'm guessing.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
It was pre-duck.
Yes. Don't tell them what kind of animal I have, because now we're going to give away this.
They don't know?
Yeah.
If they've ever heard the show, they know what animal you have.
Well, I know that. Yeah, okay.
Frozen.
Right.
You know, we used to play a game, like, in these seminars. Like, if you had to pick an animal that most resembles yourself, who would it, what type of animal? Eric, what type?
Tiger.
Oh, I could see that. Trisha, what type animal?
Kangaroo.
Oh, well, I can't pass that one.
Or jaguar.
I see a jaguar.
Okay, but
what's a kangaroo though?
Kangaroos. Well, just like you say, don't mess with the mama bear. Kangaroos.
Yeah, they're tough. Aren't
they look very cute and cuddly, but they are tough, and you don't want to wrestle one.
Kangaroos? I've seen a boxing.
Oh, yeah, kangaroos.
They can punch.
No. It's their legs. They will. They will kick you from here to kingdom come.
And Greg, what type of animal?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'll just be boring. A dog.
I can say that.
Okay. I'd pick a duck still because I'm loyal and I like water.
And pick a dolphin.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably pick the fish.
A dolphin.
Like that. I like this one.
Because you're smart and smooth.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
There we are.
But or we can always pick something that's out there in outer space. But I don't know because I haven't been up to the Lowell Observatory. Have you?
You know, long ago I did. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I'm curious if there's any animals that we could see up there, perhaps any raccoons or, you know, trees that talk. Of course, today is our Guardians of the Galaxy show. And, you know, we like to talk about the practical perspectives that are inspired by these movies or that inspire the movies. So we thought it would be a perfect opportunity to speak with Jeffrey Hall, who is the director of the Lowell Observatory. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, great. So, you know, first of all, tell us, you know, where exactly is Lowell Observatory? We've said that it was up in Flagstaff, but if our listeners wanted to, an easy route, where is it?
Right. Well, if you're in Flagstaff, down by the City Hall, and just look on the hill to your west, you'll see the white dome of the old Clark Telescope. If you head west Santa Fe Avenue and up Mars Hill, we're just a mile west of downtown.
Wow. Okay. Great. Very easy. Then, so when we go up there, what is there to see? What is the big attraction? I just said earlier that you have the a telescope, the official Discovery Channel telescope.
Well, the Discovery Channel telescope is our newest research facility. That's actually farther afield, about 40 miles down Lake Mary Road. What's here on the historic campus are all of the original buildings that date back to the days when Percival Lowell was here. The dome where the Clark Telescope was located, where he did all of his observations of Mars, as well as the telescope that was used in 1930 to discover Pluto.
Oh.
So we're open just about every day of the year and run tours on the hour. And in the evenings, we do telescope viewing for whatever's up in the sky at night.
Wow. So then anyone can look through these instruments, right?
Correct. Actually, you know, at the moment, the very old telescope that Percival Lowell brought out here is currently in pieces for renovation. We raised about $300,000 last year to fix it up after a century of use. You know, that huge bearing it had been sitting on, it's just starting to go. So once that's put back together, it'll be back in service for everybody to look through. But in the meantime, our staff have a lot of additional telescopes, so we have viewing going on throughout.
Jeffrey, let me ask you a couple questions. Mm-hmm. One, at night you say people can look at whatever is in the sky that particular night. What are some of the more interesting things that you have seen or other people have seen at Lowell Observatory that when they look through these telescopes?
Well, it depends on the season, and usually what our staff will do is pick out some of the most interesting or photogenic objects in the sky on any given night. Right now we're looking at Saturn, for example, which is always a very impressive thing to see because you can very clearly see the rings and some of the moons. So if planets are up, we'll definitely look at those. Clusters of stars, galaxies, some of the more famous nebulae, which are either where stars are forming or where dead stars have blown themselves to bits. And our staff will tell everybody what you're seeing and what's the physical basis behind what you're looking at.
You know, I heard back, I think it was in 2012, there was some, under the radar, but there was some news reports that these solar flares were happening with the sun mm-hmm. that could destroy Earth. Myth or is it reality?
Definitely not destroy Earth. It's certainly true that solar flares occur. We have, during the day, a specially equipped telescope that lets you safely look at the sun without melting your eyeball, and you can see some of those flares going off. And it's definitely true that flares, if the material that comes out from the flare is in the right direction and runs into Earth, it does things like cause the northern lights, it can cause magnetic storms in the, you know, in the atmosphere, but destroying the Earth, no.
Now, I am curious, since you mentioned the discovery of Pluto, mm-hmm. back in the day we thought it was a planet. Now mm-hmm. I understand it's a moon.
It's been officially reclassified as a dwarf planet. And what we're finding, you know, Percival Lowell believed there was a large object, another planet out beyond Neptune. And he spent much of his career calculating where he thought that should be. We didn't find a big object out there, but what we have found are lots of little objects, including Pluto, a number of other bodies out there in the far outer solar system similar to it. And one of our research astronomers here at Lowell is a member of the New Horizons mission science team. And in just about a little less than a year from today, it will fly past Pluto, and we will get our first close-up pictures ever of this very mysterious world that was discovered here not quite a century ago.
Wow, cool.
Now, let me ask you this. I love your website, full of information, very well done. I started reading about black holes, and it said even light cannot get out of a black hole. Does light have weight? Am I reading this right?
Light is affected by gravity. And we know that gravity can cause an otherwise straight propagating ray of light to bend. Black holes are dead stars. They're the cores of massive stars that have blown themselves up and essentially collapsed into a single point. And the gravity is so intense that there's a region around the hole where the escape velocity exceeds the speed of light. So not even light can get out of that, and any light going by the hole gets bent by the gravitational field.
Wow. And, you know, so there's a lot out there to see. We are, of course, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy today. And mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier when you were saying all the things that you could see, you said galaxies, plural. So first of all, can you define for us and our listeners what exactly is a galaxy? Mm-hmm. And when you say galaxies, you know, what is that?
Okay, so a galaxy is an immense collection of stars, gas, dust, rotating around a center bound together by its own gravity. Our Milky Way is a galaxy, a type of galaxy we call a spiral with the stars arranged into spiral arms. Other galaxies have different shapes. They may be elliptical, very round. They might be rather chaotic and irregular. But, you know, they are the largest concentrations of stars and dust that we find in the universe. There are many of them out there, easily over a billion galaxies, of which the Milky Way is just one, and probably, you know, a few hundred billion stars in our Milky Way alone. So the magnitude of the cosmos is always something that's quite inspiring. It inspired Percival Lowell for sure, and we continue to try to inspire people with it today.
So I'm curious, have you seen anything that defies definition or defies the mind that you've seen just while you've been there that then you haven't been able to find again or anything like that?
I think the best way to answer that is to say that the more we learn about the cosmos, the more we realize we don't understand. We can go back to Pluto. You know, our astronomer who is part of this mission flying to Pluto, people ask him, what do you think we're going to find? What are we going to see when we get there? And what he'll often say is, I really don't know, but I guarantee you it's going to surprise us because there'll be something unexpected. You know, we have ideas, but whenever we develop new technology, observe something new up close, we find something we totally didn't expect. And this has been the sort of the story of exploring the solar system as spacecraft have explored the moons of Jupiter, Saturn, the outer planets, and now we're getting to Pluto. Every single time we found things we didn't expect to see. And then you try to understand what's causing these unusual phenomena. So it makes it a fascinating field to work in because there's a tremendous amount still to learn, and it's exciting to be part of it.
Now, here's the question probably everyone wants to know. In your opinion, is there life somewhere else out in the universe?
I do not know for sure. We don't have any concrete, irrefutable evidence of life elsewhere in the universe. The conditions that create life as we know it here on Earth, I think, are likely to exist elsewhere. We are just getting to the stage now where we have the technology to detect ever smaller planets around other stars.
Goldilocks.
Yeah, Goldilocks. We are starting to find Earth-sized planets with rocky surfaces in what's called the Goldilocks zone, the habitable zone of the star. Those are worlds where possibly water could exist in its three phases, where life as we know it might exist. There might be other forms of life that we don't, that are very different from ours. I do not think we have, you know, little green men with antennae and flying saucers coming to visit us, but the universe is so vast, and everywhere we look, we're finding planets. Hundreds and hundreds of them have been characterized. So the Milky Way galaxy is a collection of stars that must just be filled with planets everywhere. And just statistically, it seems very likely that to me that there's life elsewhere. And if we were to find evidence of that, it would certainly be one of the most important discoveries in the history of mankind.
But I do think there's little green men with antennas. It's called Washington, D.C. Back to you, Joseph.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny.
And, you know, I mentioned this in an email, you know, to you that I have a billboard, you know, down the road from my house out in New River, you know, advertising the Lowell Observatory. And so, you know, every time I go past that, I was like, I've got to check that out because I've always got these, you know, I'm going on these meetup adventures with some friends. And I would love to go out there to the Lowell Observatory sometime. But say I can't make it out there, you know, in the next week or two. Mm-hmm. So if our listeners and we here in the studio were to go out tonight, you know, obviously want to see these galaxies through the telescopes and everything that you've got, the professional equipment that you've got out there, but just with the naked eye tonight, is there anything that we can look for?
Well, assuming we can see, you can see past the monsoon clouds and they break and let you see, what you can see at this time of year during the summer. You look to the south, and you might have to get away from the lights of Phoenix because this would be very hard to see from within the city. But this is the time of year when the central part of our Milky Way galaxy is visible at a convenient hour in the early evenings, mm-hmm. in the constellation Sagittarius. And if you get out to a dark enough site, you can see that immense, faintly glowing cloud of stars that's about 7,500, 8,000 light years away towards the very core of our galaxy. And it's interesting just to go out on a dark night and try to contemplate how many stars are in there and the vastness of what you're looking at and how far across the universe you're seeing. So this is a the time of year to be able to see and enjoy that sight.
Jeffrey, what, and I just thought of another question. This is just so fascinating to me. I think I wanted to be an astronomer when I was younger, I believe. But
when you grow up?
Yeah, when I when I grow up, probably. But what is, and this might be a silly question, but I'm trying to visualize it, and I can't seem to do it. If a galaxy is a collection of, what do you say, millions and millions of stars and
billions, yeah.
billions, what is in between, and there's many galaxies, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is in between each galaxy?
Not a lot. Largely empty space with a very, very tenuous in places collection of very rarefied gas, but not a lot between the galaxies. You know, if you took a spaceship and flew out of the Milky Way towards Andromeda, the Andromeda galaxy, one of the nearest large galaxies, at any sensible speed, it would take you many, many, many millions of years to get there, and there would just be not much in between them.
As a scientist, how do you describe the end of the galaxy, or is there?
That's a really interesting question, and we have one of our other astronomers here at Lowell. You know, our principal mission these days is to do research, and then we try to bring the results of that research to the public every day and every night as they come to visit us. But one of our astronomers specializes in just that and trying to understand where a galaxy finally ends and, you know, what is the full extent of the galaxy, how much matter is there, how much of it is dark that we can't see. These are very important questions to understanding the overall structure and evolution of the universe. It's a very tricky problem.
Well, what's beyond the universe?
Another one.
That's a question we get quite frequently. If the universe is expanding, what's it expanding into? And you can't really think of it that way. It's not quite correct to visualize the expanding universe as, say, a balloon that's expanding. It's all of space itself is expanding, and there's no center we can point to. And this could be the start of a very long conversation that would might have everybody asleep by the end of it. But I will point out that the evidence, the very first evidence for the expansion of the universe was collected right here in 1912 at Lowell Observatory with the Clark refractor. They didn't quite understand what they were seeing at that point, but they noticed that all of these other distant galaxies they were observing appeared to be moving away from us. And it took, after that, it took about almost 20 years to piece that together for the original observations made here by Vesto Slipher, for Edwin Hubble then to piece them together in what is now known as the Hubble Law, describing the expansion of the universe. So that's something we certainly discuss on our tours when people come to visit us.
That is really cool. One last question, Jeffrey, you got me so intrigued on this, is I heard, and I don't know where, that, yes, the universe is expanding. Will it ever start contracting?
Very good question. Obviously, you know, little things like the fate of the universe are some of the interesting things we get to think about. And the question is the universe what we call open? Will it continue to expand forever? Is it flat? Will it just expand to the point where it comes to a stop? Or is it closed? Will it eventually stop expanding and sort of fall back together in what has sometimes been called the Big Crunch? There's very interesting recent evidence that there's not enough matter in the universe to stop the expansion, that it will go on forever. But I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
I have a question for you. If the universe is expanding, does that mean our planets are getting farther away from each other in our solar system?
Or is the solar system
expanding as a whole?
No, because the expansion of the universe is on the largest scales. Think of the overall universe. Locally, the local gravity in the solar system overcomes that. So the solar system itself is not doing that.
Okay.
Jeffrey, when, and this really is our last question, but I just love this stuff.
We're ever expanding.
We still have like we're expanding 14 like minutes.
We're expanding our
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, right.
Comment, if you can, on will science and religion ever meet, or spirituality? Is there connections at the end of the road?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. And I could give you a lengthy answer, but in the interest of your show being finite here rather than infinite, you know, you hear a lot about the conflict between science and religion. The way I actually don't see any conflict, and here's the reason. Science demands proof. Religion demands faith. And those are two very different ways of looking at things. In a way, they're almost like two parallel lines. There is no intersection. Therefore, I don't really see a conflict as long as we understand where the boundary between scientific inquiry and religious interpretations of things we cannot prove, things we can never know, as long as we keep that boundary clear, I don't think there is a conflict. You know, probably not everyone shares that view, but that's kind of where I come down.
So basically, the Earth is not 6,000 years old.
The Earth is not 6,000 years old.
You can say that empirically.
Yeah, you can say that on the basis of overwhelming evidence. Just in the same way, there is overwhelming evidence supporting the theory of evolution. And, you know, I know that's a hot-button target, but the scientific evidence for that is so overwhelming that it's simply virtually certain that that is a correct description of the development of species here on Earth.
Oh, you know, this entire discussion has my mind just like spinning because, you know, like you said, that this conversation could go on and on,
mm-hmm.
and it is absolutely fascinating, and, you know, it really, it just makes you think as well.
Yeah, and we just really, it's an important component of our mission. You know, we have about 20 professional astronomers here doing internationally renowned research in a whole slew of different fields of astronomy, and we just love to have the public come up and talk about all these things, which is why I'm enjoying being with you here this morning.
Well, we've really enjoyed speaking with you as well.
Well, now, you know, you might not have heard at the beginning of the show, but our own Joseph is hoping for a personal invitation.
Well, Joseph is a star.
I'm a star.
He is a star.
Well, you know, if you happen to know somebody up here at the observatory, you know, drop him an email and maybe we can arrange that.
Aha, I like it. I like the way
great,
you think.
Great.
You know, that it is one thing that it's sometimes we get caught up in the minutia of life here on Earth.
Uh-huh.
And when you go to a place like the observatory, you realize how small, not just us, mm-hmm. but our entire world and even our universe is. In the big picture.
Right. And, you know, it is very inspirational. And I certainly see that when we have the K-12 groups up here. You know, you bring a group of fourth or fifth graders up to our lecture hall and start a conversation just like this one. And what I usually find is if the teacher doesn't eventually just drag them out of the room, I'd still be there answering questions. You know, they're just so full of interest and curiosity. And it's very rewarding to bring what we do to, you know, the next generation of scientists and wanderers.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, I know that it's okay if the answer is no, but any interest in seeing Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, I am very happy to suspend disbelief and go see a good sci-fi movie.
Yeah, great. Well, we've given it three thumbs up here.
Excellent.
On Breakthrough Entertainment, so we really hope that you enjoy it, and we are very grateful that you joined us today on Breakthrough Entertainment to help us celebrate the release of the film and tell us and our listeners a little bit about the galaxies that we can see up at the Lowell Observatory. Again, you know, director Jeffrey Hall of the Lowell Observatory, thank you so much for joining us, and you know, just have a great weekend.
Okay, sure thing. Thanks a lot, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. We did too.
Thank you so much. That was just fascinating. I'm not kidding. It's like amazing.
I know. We almost missed a break because of it.
We did. Yeah. We did miss a break.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we won't.
Oh,
we're
skipping
that.
The break.
Yeah, we'll skip that break. Yeah.
Okay, so we're not on song four anymore.
No, we will stick on that song. We're gonna skip two songs later though.
Okay.
So just pay attention to the cards.
It's not hard. We're pretty easily distracted, but in this particular case, it was fascinating.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was a difficult decision what to celebrate, you know, help celebrate Guardians of the Galaxy with. At one point, we had on some musicians and. you know, people involved in the music industry, because music is a very big part of Guardians of the Galaxy. But I think that the part that you know, that they're really playing up, that Marvel is playing up, is the sci-fi aspect and all that stuff that we you know, just the interesting colors that you can see out there. Right? There's a bunch of different
colors. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a great guest, and he sounds so cool. And I want to get up there.
Yeah, we should.
Really, I do.
I'll send him an email. Maybe we can do a remote broadcast, and we can have our listeners, you know, spend a night with us or something.
Oh, well, yeah. Which ones?
The hot ones.
Yes. The hot ones. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby.
Oh. Yeah. Count me in.
I'll don't forget, you know, probably in our next hour I will mention the graffiti crawl. I want to make sure that Bobby has all the information for that.
Ooh, that's coming up, huh?
That's tonight.
I went, it was either there or another one. I think it was in Flagstaff, I believe. Yeah. It was a field trip when I was younger, and it was amazing because there's a part of it where you sit in this room and then it gets dark, and then yeah. It's like you just look up and the stars, and it just shows where everything is, Ryan's Bell, all that stuff, what to look for. And so then after that, you know, you go home, we had a telescope, and you try to just track everything. It's just amazing what's out there.
It piques your interest when you see that.
Absolutely, and there's definitely people out there, other life forms somewhere.
I don't know, people. Entities.
Life forms.
I do think there's probably people. I'll use the word also people that, even though they won't, those life forms probably have different names for themselves and stuff. I'm sure there's not only just little particles.
Groot.
Yeah, there you go. And trees like Vin Diesel. But I bet some look like us. There's just so much out there, and millions of years from now, when that's figured out, way after our lifetime, when we're different people, we'll not look back and see how amazing it was, because we won't be here. But yeah. Technically, we would if we were here.
If we freeze ourselves, or our daughters steal our bodies.
Like Walt Disney, we'll freeze ourselves. Yeah.
Or that other guy.
Yeah.
We may be born in a
different galaxy. Our daughters
will
steal our body and then move us to Canada.
Right? Could we
And who says that this body is the end of our life form? I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but...
We might just expand into that. Maybe that's what the universe is expanding for.
Maybe we'll go to another planet. That's the next life. Yeah.
Or maybe we'll be born not in the Milky Way next time, in like the Baby Ruth. Or the Babe Ruth. Yeah, what's it called? The Baby Ruth?
Baby Ruth.
Or the Payday.
Henry.
You've got Pringles and stuff out there. You don't have any Milky Ways.
I don't have Pringles out there.
Who's got Pringles out there?
I don't have Pringles.
It was supplied by the station. I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, that's very cool. You're not the station?
You can take the credit, Eric.
I'll take the credit. Oh, yeah. Hey, next week I'll get you some Milky Ways.
Oh, okay. And then, of course.
I like Payday.
And Payday. I like Paydays, too.
Yeah, they're sweet and salty, right? Yum.
That was Tony Gwynn's favorite candy bar.
Oh,
was the Payday. And when Chris went out on the field with him out to right field, when our kids were on the field with the players that time, he brought him a Payday.
Oh, that
is one of his fondest memories. Nice. Tony Gwynn, 19, San Diego.
That is my favorite Friday Payday.
Yeah,
who likes that?
Don't you pay yourself?
Oh, yeah. It could be any day.
I haven't had one of these in like 2 years, but $100,000. Those are amazing.
I would like that.
And those red.
I remember that.
And the money, too, would be great.
But the Milky Way caramel? Yummy.
Well, you know, that you do have the Pringles. Well, someone has these Pringles out there, but you know that Lay's has those cappuccino chips now. I haven't tried them.
I saw those.
I have them. I haven't tried them yet.
I bought the wasabi ginger and the mac and cheese chips.
I've got those. I went to three different stores today trying to find the bacon mac and cheese. I finally found them. And the wasabi ginger and the cappuccino. And also, there's one more, the mango salsa.
Yes, no thank you.
I love the wasabi almonds.
And mashed potatoes, too.
And wasabi mashed potatoes, yes. I love wasabi, period.
I'll taste the cappuccino ones and let you guys know, because I know we love our coffee.
That would be an interesting combo.
You realize the wasabi that you get in most restaurants here is not real wasabi?
Oh. What is wasabi?
No, I didn't realize that. The wasabi paste is not real wasabi?
No, it's usually made out of horseradish and colored green. The real wasabi is... from Japan, and it's hard to get here.
Aha. See, I thought mine was made in Japan. I'll have to look at
now,
my,
what is wasabi? Is it a herb?
It's a root.
A root.
Yeah, it's
a root word of Greek.
Well, this song is, again,
Google
by
it.
Tyler Bates.
Konnichiwa.
Podchase.
Tyler Bates, the Norman Hotel.
Yeah, no, the composer for Guardians of the Galaxy. This is Podchase from Guardians of the Galaxy. This is Breakthrough Entertainment's Guardians of the Galaxy show.
On 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KPH.